I wonder if, like me, you can think of a time where someone called out for help and you didn't bother to stop. And some days I remember quite vividly places or people or faces that I saw and walked past where somebody needed my help. I remember for a number of mornings when I used to get on the train to go to work. As I get out of the bank station, there was this guy who sat there. No one spoke to him, he was so busy, like just basically just sat there and had a McDonald's cup. And I remember many days thinking I should stop, and I would carry 10 pounds or 20 pounds or something with me and think I can give him that, but I can also just greet him, say hi. I may have done a half-hearted attempt once or twice, but now that opportunity is gone because I'm not traveling on the train. And so Job asked the same question, I cry out for help, no one bothers to stop. Let's talk about that. So we meet Bildad again, one of Job's friends, and this is his second speech. Of course, at least we could say of Bildad that he's briefer in his reproach than his fellow comforters. But he starts off his second speech, if you will, with much of the same, just a little bit more succinct. He says to Job that the sort of familiar refrain that the wicked person gets caught in the net of his own sins. Of course, he's not wrong in saying that men suffer for their sins. I think we may all have experienced consequences of sin, consequences of bad decisions, that happens. But he's wrong in this case in giving that as an explanation of Job's sufferings, because not all suffering is a direct result of sin in one's life. And this is a great mystery. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a very common question. The thing that struck me, and this is Job 18, where Bildad says this, and then Job 19, of course, Job responds. He says, well, even if I have somehow or other gotten off track, what business is that of yours? It's a weird question, actually, given that you have friends around you. And it's interesting to think of this whole Job series from a friendship perspective. You know, what business is it of yours if somebody starts going off track? I would argue, and I'm starting to learn, that it's quite a lot of our business. It's not supposed to be the business of judgment. But certainly to draw close to somebody who's going through a difficult time, or losing their way. There's this really great line in, was it Isaiah? I think so. Where the outcry was,
Well, it may have been the Psalms, I can't remember. But the outcry of the verse is, God, my foot is slipping. God, my foot is slipping. And so here, Job's response to Bildad is sort of, well, what business is it of yours? If even if somehow I've been getting off track, I would argue it is our business. We should make it our business. If somebody is starting to go off track, not to judge them, not to call out the fact that they're getting off track, but to draw close to them and to help them to be back on track. And the test there is love, right? Can you do it in love? Does it build up? What's the heart of it? But anyway, so what business is it of yours? And then this line that stuck with me, and you just, man, you feel for Job, because he says, I call out for help and no one bothers to stop. I call out for help, no one bothers to stop, or there is no justice. When I read it, something in me just woke up as I thought about all of those people, people all over the world who call out for help and no one bothers to stop. I remember my wife and I were on holiday in Europe, and we, having come from South Africa, were quite familiar with the sight of people affected and suffering under the boot of poverty. But in Venice, we got off this little boat and rounded a corner, and there was a lady just face down on the floor with a little bowl in front of her, and she didn't even move, and there was just, you know, hundreds of tourists walking past her, including us. And reading this line, a call for help, no one bothers to stop. Sometimes the call is not even audible. It's not obvious, isn't it? Sometimes the call is not, hey, please help me, I'm losing my way. Sometimes the call is evident in behavior, in a certain loss of spark. It's a lot more subtle than somebody waving a flag. And the question, I guess, for me, for you, is should we bother to stop? You know, God's word, he speaks about, in John 17, he speaks about Jesus saying, reporting to God the Father almost, saying, here's what I've done with those who you've given me. The question here is, when we observe and share our life with people who call out for help, should we bother to stop? How would we report at the end of our days to God in saying, here's what I've done with the ones you've given me? Not the ones I liked of the ones you've given me. Not the ones whose troubles I could look upon and face. But all the ones that you've given me. All the ones I walk past and interact with and work with and come across, who have pain and sorrow and difficulty and who find their feet slipping. And we see it. This is hard, man. I call out for help and no one bothers to stop. So Job's asking this of his friends. And they don't actually have much of an answer. Their answer seems to be filled not with love, but with judgment. You know, it's kind of your fault. You should repent. And if you repent, you'll be okay. I do not think it's what it looks like to love your neighbor, to love those whom God has given to you. And the interesting turn that Job's narrative here takes is he starts pointing at God being the cause of all of this. Bearing in mind, Job doesn't really know why all of this stuff has hit his life. He doesn't know the full backstory. But he says of God that God destroyed my reputation, he tore me apart, he's launched a major campaign against me. Basically coming to the conclusion that I'm nothing but a bag of bones, my life hangs by a thread. He calls out for his friends, he says, friends, dear friends, take pity on me, because God has come down hard on me. And so do you have to be hard on me too? God has come down hard on me. Do you have to be hard on me too? It's a good question. It's a good question. When we come across people in our life that are going through a difficult time, ignore for the moment who and what sits behind the difficult time. Is it our job if we choose to bother to stop? Is it our job to make it harder? Or to carry each other's burdens and to help? You know, because Job's asking, do you have to be hard on me too? Do you have to add to my suffering? It's a good question. And then here's the piece, here's the magic line out of Job 19. He says, if only my words were written in a book, better yet if they were chiseled in stone, little did he know, actually. But still I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. And this, to me, is a declaration of faith in and amongst everything Job is going through. And it's this absolute mix and mess of emotion and of despair and of questioning. And I think we'd be lying to ourselves if this isn't what we find ourselves in, some ratio, place on the spectrum of that combination of things. It's like, well, why? What's the point of this? Why is this so hard? You know, not comparing our sufferings to Job's, but the questions are the same. They are, this is, you know, God, why do you allow this? Why is this happening? And yet, in all of that, he finds the faith to say, still, I know. Not, I hope so, or I trust so. He says, in strong confidence, I know. And so there are so many within the fold of our faith that I think stop at I hope, I trust, I hope and I trust that my Redeemer lives. But Job teaches us to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. There's something personal about this description, my Redeemer. My Redeemer. I know that he lives. And then he says that I also know that at some point in time, when this gets vindicated, I will see the pearly gates. No. See the golden streets? No. I will see God. I will see God. And I really, really hope that Job is onto something and is right, that he will see God, that we will see God. Because faith takes us to that place. And faith seems like a wishy-washy thing sometimes. It seems like it's the stuff you can't see, and it's this conviction you have. Some describe it as a hope and a trust. There is another dimension to faith, it seems, which is I know that my Redeemer lives, because I know that I can exercise faith in knowing that I will see God. I will experience victory, breakthrough. I will get through this. He will get me to the other side. Faith like that in circumstances or situations like Job finds himself in. Faith like that in circumstances that you find yourself in is a particularly important tool to lift your head out of the situation in which you find yourself. I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will see God. He will get me through this to the other side. So, my friends, what can we learn from Job 18 and 19? I would say, when someone calls for help, can we be a people who bother to stop? And I think the Holy Spirit works in us to know when to stop, but we have to be receptive and obedient to stop. I remember the lady in Venice, because I feel even now I should have stopped. What can I do? I don't know. But that's the problem. Now, I'll never know. And I think Jesus has called us and has taught us and was somebody who bothered to stop. The woman who touched his garment, he bothered to stop. And I think this is what he's calling us to be. So when people around you consider and think of your friends, your acquaintances, people you work with, those who God has given you, think about them for a moment and just consider who may be crying out, not in the most obvious way. I need help. No, just I'm slipping. And may we find the strength to bother to stop and learn from Job's three friends' mistakes, just bother to stop. And secondly, may we find the kind of faith that doesn't say, I hope that a Redeemer exists, but rather, or I trust that a Redeemer exists, but rather I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And may we have the faith to see God, to believe that we will see God when all is said and done. His words are, I think he says that I will see God myself with my very own eyes, even after my skin has been destroyed, and in my flesh I will see him. And my prayer for us, for you, is that regardless of what you are going through and experiencing and how you feel, whatever weight is poured on your life and all, between all the questions that you ask of God, of life, of others, of friendships, if you're lifting up your hand and you're saying, I cry out, but no one bothers to stop. May you know that your Redeemer lives, and you will see God.